I'm going to call our Board of Commission of Public Lands meeting to order on August 18th. The first item on the agenda is approve the minutes from August 4th. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
Yeah, I looked at them and they seem as I remember, so I moved to approve them. Doug?
A second.
Great. It's been moved and seconded. Is there any comments, edits? Seeing none, all those in favor of approval of the minutes say aye.
Aye, Doug.
Aye, Josh.
Aye, Josh. Wonderful. The minutes are approved. Moving down to the next item on the agenda, which starts on page eight, is the approval of the loan. Is there a motion to approve the loan?
Yeah, we have 17 loans. I will move to approve them.
So moved, and I will second it. Rich, you wanted me to give us some details around these 17 loans that we're looking at today?
Yeah, before he does that, I wanted to say that I observed the most common loan this time is the refinancing of loans. We don't really get any new loans that way, right? It's interesting why that's happening so much now. Okay, Rich, go ahead.
Well, Doug, it's pretty natural this time of year, and that's kind of what I wanted to talk about. At the end of August, we closed off the ability for prepayments, which includes refinances, until the end of the year. And we do that because that's the time that all of our borrowing entities are going through their levy process, and if we allowed prepayments and refinances during that time, it would confuse matters greatly. And so we closed it off at the end of August, and so every August it's pretty natural for everybody to want to get in on their refinances before that period is closed off.
Thank you.
And
that's really... go ahead, I'm sorry.
You know, I was just going to say, you're talking with these communities, and not only is the period appropriate, but the opportunity for them to have some cost savings with refinance, I would assume.
Oh, that's exactly right. You know, the rates available through the trust fund loan program and throughout the marketplace are very competitive right now. And so it's a good opportunity for them to lock in low long-term rates to reduce their finance costs moving forward, which is important in this time, right?
Yeah, it'd be interesting, Rich, just within COVID, how many communities refinanced and what the total cost savings would be. But to your point, that's all really important just in this financial state. So,
well, a lot of communities are getting a lot of savings today.
Good. It's great. Any other questions for Rich just about the loan portfolio that we're approving today? I did see that Rosendale is getting another police car, so everybody beware. Kind of in your neck of the woods, Josh, so in Fond du Lac. But any other questions about any of the loans?
On the Rosendale one, when I sent it over to the Justice Department, I said, you know, you might want to think twice about approving this for public purpose.
Right, exactly. That's interest of the public. Well, seeing that there are no more questions, all those in favor of approving the loan, say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Doug.
Aye, Josh.
Great. The 17 loans are approved. Moving down to old business, which is on actually page 11 of your packet, and that's kind of it's the goals and priorities for the kind of the goals and priorities of the agency that we set back at the end of October. And so I wanted to set the stage a little bit because there was a cover letter that went with this back in October, and really what it talked about was how we're at a unique juncture, being that we have two new commissioners at this point. Doug, we know you've been here for a while and you're a solid voice, but knowing that we have kind of a new structure with the board, We also had an opportunity to hire a new executive secretary because Jonathan Berry had just announced retirement. And then the third big change was that over the years we had expanded our investment authority and we were working towards approving an updated investment policy statement. And so knowing our role as commissioners and really being the fiduciaries and oversight of the agency, wanted to make sure that we were all on the same page as far as kind of what we were working towards and kind of how that would look. And this also aligned with an updated position description that we created for the executive secretary. So these documents kind of went hand in hand. And so when you're looking at the goals and priorities, just another kind of note is that an input for this document was back at the beginning, well, actually it was more maybe spring of 2019. Jonathan Berry, Tom, Rich, and I got together and did an afternoon kind of strategy planning session where we identified kind of investment, operations, and lands as kind of these three goal areas and then very similar initiatives underneath that. So this really, that document served as the foundation for what we are seeing today. And so when we had talked about this document in December, a couple of times, both in our special meeting and also too before we moved forward with hiring the executive secretary, I just thought since it had been over 6 months, it would be worthwhile to take some time to talk through that document, as well as knowing that the agency will be getting together at the beginning, end of August, beginning of September, to do some planning, as an agency. And so I just wanted to make sure that we as commissioners, had some opportunity to talk about this, but we're also on the same page. So, any questions, I guess, just based on the background and where we are today? And so I guess, Josh and Doug, would it be helpful to walk through these goals and priorities again?
From my perspective, just to get an update from the staff, and if folks have questions, we can follow up with those.
I mean, this is Doug. They all seem fairly straightforward. I don't know if any of them are complicated or problematic enough that we need to have explanations. If so, I'm willing to listen.
Yeah, I mean, I feel that we are moving forward on a lot of this work. I mean, maybe what we might do is just highlight a few of them, for example. So under investments, for example, you look at the investment performance scorecard and annual report, and this is just a good best practice, whether you're SWIB or a 529 plan, but knowing and communicating how your agency is performing and providing some context to that in an annual report. So, and I know that BCPL has done that biannually, but there were kind of two thoughts. One is making it about the trust fund as much as possible, so talking about our distribution, talking about, you know, how many loans we provided, where they were going, the impact that they had, but making sure that we are kind of communicating the good news of this agency and kind of in sharing that. And so that's something that we've been working on both on the investment committee with kind of our reporting. And that also I think goes down too with the asset allocation and working towards our investments, invest meeting that, which is something that we had approved back with the investment policy statement. So I mean, the only two things that I think are worth discussing at some point is you'll notice the membership of the investment committee and then also the Wisconsin Impact Advisor Group. So two things with that. I think one thing about the investment committee is right now The investment committee, as we talked about, it's the chair or somebody that they select, so a commissioner is a representative on that investment committee. It's the chief investment officer. It's the executive director or secretary. And then it's the deputy. Those are kind of the four voting members. And then the accountant or whoever manages the financials is a non-voting member. Right now, we also have another non-voting member from the university. But I think it's really helpful to have outside opinions and outside and diverse thoughts as we continue to think through our execution, because we know that when you have different perspectives, that creates good dialogue that helps ensure, I think, the best returns and the best selection possible. So that's something that we've kind of put on the back burner that I think, you know, in the future might be worthwhile, as well as this kind of impact advisory group. Something that's really hard with investments is just we want to make investments in Wisconsin, but it's finding opportunities that make the most amount of sense to BCPL. We just can't necessarily call an investment group, whether it's BlackRock, Blackstone, or Invesco, to do that, to source those investment opportunities. And so figuring out, I think, a way that's efficient and effective and doesn't take a lot of staff time to find those whenever those investments make the most amount of sense and provide best returns. So that's just a little overview on investments. I think under operations.
But before you go further,
sure.
Maybe I haven't been paying enough attention, and I apologize, but in this list of things to do, to establish, to expand, to update, develop, is it worthwhile going through the list quickly and just saying whether we have or have not completed those projects?
Yeah. I mean, I would say, honestly, Doug, since we've talked about these projects, they're all in progress or we haven't really started them quite yet.
Okay, so things like improving agency outreach and developing strategic plans, those are all, so this whole list of about 12 things, they're all sort of underway, but we haven't really completed them. And some of them we haven't started, maybe. Okay.
Yeah, and I guess what I wanted to do was just exactly to your, to what Josh mentioned, and also I think, Doug, from your point is, just remind folks that we had talked about this, but I think getting quarterly updates on this and maybe Tom taking the lead in doing that would be really helpful for us as commissioners. But wanted to talk to the two of you to see if that would be worthwhile.
Well, I guess what Tom could do is he could go through this list of 12 things and write a very short one or two paragraph update saying that we haven't started this yet, or we started it and we've done this and that, or we finished it and it's all done. And we could read those paragraphs quite quickly and get a feeling as to where we were at on each of these items.
I think that's a good suggestion. And Jack, I know that you are also.
Yeah, I am, however Tom wants to handle or try to do some sort of update, it doesn't matter to me which method we use, but I do think the idea of having some sort of regular, just sort of status check-in that allows us to sort of assess how things are going and think about whether there are things that we want to focus on or change as we move forward makes a lot of sense.
Great.
I'm more than happy to respond in any way that the board would prefer. Let's put it that way. So all of you have other jobs besides being commissioners, and so whatever format you would prefer, I'm happy to do it in that format.
Well, this is Doug. The reason I suggested the brief one, two paragraph is that way we can look at them. If we try to do it verbally, like during the meeting, that's hard to follow. At least for me, it is. And I could take half an hour and read through those paragraphs quickly before the meeting, but that's just my opinion.
So I think maybe what would be helpful as a next step is, Tom, if you could maybe provide a quarterly, just like written highlight. And then I do think that I think we'll be able to provide the board with an update too on some of this based on, I mentioned, there is an offsite that the agency or kind of session that the agency has set up, for beginning of September, which might be a good input in, into this document in general. So I just wanted to make sure we had talked about that before that upcoming session and gotten any other feedback. But I think Josh and Doug, your insight and comments are really helpful. Any other comments or thoughts?
Well, I have a question that I just thought of. What's the status on our new deputy secretary?
Well, I believe, actually, Doug, Tom was going to get to that under his executive secretary's report. So can we hold for that?
Okay, I'll wait.
Okay. So moving then down to routine business and the chief investment officer report. So,
Thanks, Sarah. I think that what I'd like to point out is that our allocation to preferred stock has been fulfilled. We are now at a 5% status that was approved by the investment committee a few months ago. The table that I included as page 12 in today's packet is not a complete table. It's sort of a preview of what we will be able to provide shortly. This table doesn't include all of our assets. For instance, it doesn't include the bonds that we purchased from WIDA. It doesn't include state trust fund loans or any of the venture capital or real estate limited partnerships that we have invested in. And we're working on that, and hopefully within the next month or so, we'll be able to include all of our assets that have to be separately entered into the performance software. Then after that is done, we'll be able to create another table, which would be the performance of our assets against our benchmarks. And I think that is really the goal of this whole reporting, to see how we are measuring up against benchmarks that the board approved in investment policy. And that is on its way.
Doug, I have a question.
Sure.
I probably forgot, but I can get away with it because I'm old. What is the $45 million private real estate that we own?
That's in two separate funds, Doug. That is, there's $40 million invested in the Blackstone Real Estate Investment Trust for the Common School Fund and $5 million in the same fund for the Normal School Fund.
Yep, I remember now. So these are indirect real estate purchases, so to speak. I got it. Thank you.
Right. Correct. They're not publicly traded, but they do offer some liquidity on a monthly basis should we ever decide to get out of that investment.
Why have we lost so much money?
I think a lot of it has to do with timing. We entered into that investment, I believe, in late March, right when COVID was ending.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was marked down pretty quickly after we bought it, but I think it's on its way back. The investment from the Normal School Fund has actually increased slightly since it was made because it was made in a later month. I guess what I would point out, Doug, too, is that points to the importance of diversification because if you'll notice, the remaining assets, you know, have increased by about $33.5 million.
Yeah, I just wondered why the real estate took such a big loss, almost a 6% loss.
You can point to COVID for that.
And do we know exactly what kind of real estate it is?
Yes, we do. We even know the specific properties.
And if you look at those properties, is it logical why they went down in value so much?
a lot of the decline in this fund, Doug, was because this fund can invest up to 20% of its assets in securities, so in debt that's secured by real estate, in addition to actual properties. And they invest in securities to provide liquidity, additional liquidity and cash flow for the fund. During March and April, that type of security was hammered pretty hard, but it's come back pretty far.
Okay, thank you.
The bulk of that fund, Doug, is invested in industrial property that is primarily distribution centers for companies like Amazon, and so the vast majority of that fund is actually in pretty good shape. But as Rich pointed out, there are some areas that that were pressured by COVID, but that was a smaller portion of the fund, but it was pressured a little bit more. Whereas those industrial properties that are, like I said, distribution centers, if anything right now, those things are going up in value. So overall the fund is okay, but it did get pushed down a bit by COVID.
Yeah, Doug, 75% of that fund is invested in industrial properties in addition to apartments. And those are the two areas that I think are best positioned moving forward in this environment.
Yeah. Well, it's much more complicated. In the good old days, I could keep track of things because it was all school loans or municipal loans. And now all these complicated investments, I have trouble keeping track of them. Thank you for explaining things to me.
Our pleasure. Our pleasure. That's what we should be doing.
Any other questions for Rich? Thanks, Rich. Moving to the executive secretary's report, Tom.
Well, as we noted during our last board meeting, we've selected a new deputy secretary. Jim DeLeo is coming over from the Department of Financial Institutions, where he's been one of the principal people managing the EdVest program, which has more than $5 billion in assets. And Jim's had a good career in the investment world, and we're looking forward to him joining us at the end of the month. And, in fact, Jim is on the line right now, if I'm not mistaken. So, Jim, you want to say hi?
I'll make it brief. Yes, hi. And I'm proud to say I'm a big fan of asset allocation, and we've got tons of people ready to go to school in the fall, and all the folks that were invested with us that were going to school this year or next year are well above water. In spite of the blips we took in March and April. So I'm looking forward to the opportunity with the board and wrapping up some audits and some things over there at DFI, but be with you folks here in about a week or two.
Welcome.
Fantastic.
Yeah, welcome aboard.
Well, thank you. And I'm looking forward to going up north and catching the trees when they change color, so.
According to our foresters, you may want to wait a couple of weeks because it's kind of a hot spot in the state right now for COVID. So they're suggesting holding off for a couple of weeks.
We can do that by video conference then. Thank you.
So, anyway, As part of the communication outreach for the proposed land exchange with the Forest Service, I made an informational presentation to the Voight Intertribal Task Force of the Great Lakes Fish and Wildlife Council. And after passing along the commissioner's greetings to the tribal members and giving a short presentation, I answered questions. The agenda called for 20 minutes. The questions lasted an hour and a half. But I thought it was a great beginning. A good dialogue and a road to better relations with the tribes.
Well, you of course prompt my curiosity. What sort of questions did they ask that took so long? What were they curious about?
So many of them hadn't really interacted with BCPL in the past, and so if you think about this exchange, land is going in two different directions, from the Forest Service to BCPL and from BCPL to the Forest Service. But from their standpoint, the land that was going from the Forest Service to BCPL, they were concerned about, because of the fact that the federal government has a memorandum of understanding with the tribes, that talks about how they can exercise their treaty rights, whereas the state has no such agreement with the tribes. Those relations are governed by the Voight decision, and so the tribes are just trying to get a better sense of who we are, what we do, how we do it, why we do it. And so, like I said, it was a good conversation, but like I said, so many of them had just never interacted with us before.
This is a silly question, and I should know the answer. We're not authorized to loan money to the tribes?
Well, no. So our loan program specifies certain entities that can borrow through the loan program. So, and those are cities, villages, towns, counties, lake protection districts, technical colleges. In Menominee County, the tribe is actually synonymous with a number of those things. And so in Menominee County, that's possible.
Uh-huh.
But in these other situations, no, we can't lend to them through the loan program.
Okay,
under
thank
our
you.
Expanded... Okay. Moving on, as I noted previously, we have more potential submerged land leases working their way through the process, and I expect there will be another one on the board agenda for the next board meeting, so that'll take a little bit of time. And finally, I've worked with DOJ on defining a legal pathway for selling a conservation easement against our reserved mineral estate. As I noted before, over the years, BCPL has reserved mineral rights on over 200,000 acres of land that we sold. And I had previously reported to the board about a situation where BCPL owned the mineral estate, and the surface owner operated a cranberry bog on the property. Well, we received a request from that cranberry bog owner to join him in selling a conservation easement, and I believe this is not only legally permissible, but as fiduciary, something we should consider for our trust funds. So by selling a conservation easement on our mineral estate there, we would not only be generating revenue for the trust fund, but also protecting the environment. And in the words of our board chair, I think that's a win-win situation. So that will be coming to the board for consideration at the next meeting as well. And that's all I have for today.
That was a lot, Tom. Thank you. Any other questions for Tom? So my report's going to be really brief. I just want to echo the welcome to Jim DeJulio. I actually worked with Jim, but in a very kind of in a unique way. He was on the executive committee of the National Association of State Treasurers and was active in the 529 plan nationally, but participated in a lot of different work with the financial officers for the state. So I'm excited to see him in this role. He was a great leader nationally, and I know he'll do a great job for the agency moving forward. So thanks, Jim, for being here, and we're excited for you to get to work come the end of the month. That is it for my update. Any future agenda items? Seeing none, is there a motion? Doug?
I'll move we adjourn. Doug.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor of adjournment say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Doug.
Aye, Josh.
Great. The meeting's adjourned. Thanks, everybody, and have a great rest of your week.
Thanks.
Have a great day, everybody. Take care.
Good.
And, Jim, it was great to have you today.
Good. Thank you.
You bet. Bye-bye.